Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show, hour number three already. All right, it is 6 o'clock here in the Bayou City. Let's run down to Corpus Christi now. Let's check in with Captain Cliff Webb. Cliff, good morning. What's up?
Morning, Mickey. How's it going, buddy?
Couldn't be better. And you?
Well, we had a hard week. We lost some fishing guys, I guess you heard this week.
Yeah, I heard about Skipper Ray.
You know, then John Mileski went down. Got a big stroke. He's in intensive care. So, man.
Oh, no.
To the old timers here, you know, God, you just hate that.
I know.
Well. You know how that is. But anyway.
It's all our age class is next.
Didn't know it.
It's inevitable. I mean, it's
a
shame.
It's all good. I hope I go with my wading boots on. It's all good. But our fishing's picking up, Mickey. We're finally getting that that tide really helped us, man. That full tide is just exactly what we needed. You know, puts a lot of those tide runner fish in, and some of the trout we're catching out of that real silver color, you know, yellow mouth. Mm-hmm. You can tell they have not been here, you know.
Right.
And it's so funny the amount of redfish that are coming in now. They're just catching a lot of slot redfish along with the trout, which is, you know, I had these guys come down. They fished me 35, maybe 40 years ago, and they'd all come together, all five of them, you know, and they all got together and decided to book me on Wednesday and Thursday. All five of them came down, so I had six people in the boat, and some of them hadn't fished since, you know, 35 years ago. We got out there and got on some redfish and went down memory lane and started going through some of those old pictures, the old time, just, you know, it's like, oh, my God, we really caught that many big fish, you know, it's like, oh, man. We caught some nice fish when they came down, but it's so cool to have those old guys, you know, that you fished with many, many years ago, and you'd forgotten some of the things that happened. They didn't, you know, that was, you know, all the days as a guy kind of runs together, but when you're a client, you have things happen with a guy, you remember every bit of it, and you know how that is. So they're reminding me of all of the funny things that happened, and God almighty, Mickey, that was some good stuff. Yeah. Oh,
well.
Is looking forward to you coming down. I'm hearing rumors you're coming down to fish with me. I'm excited about that.
Slide in there Monday. Well, it's a Sunday, and then fish with you Monday and Tuesday.
Oh, it's going to be good stuff, Mickey. And who's coming? John, Raphael's coming, and who else is coming?
John and Raphael.
Both
and
of them
myself.
Good. That's going to be fun.
Same crew as last time.
Oh, that'd be fun, Mickey. You know what? I've had five people in my boat all this week, so it doesn't allow me to fish structure over – trolling motor, so I'm excited
right.
to be able to do that. There's a couple areas that's got some big trout. I've been chomping the bits to fish, but you know.
Well, John and Raphael are good at doing that. You know, fish that structure like you like to do with a trolling motor, because they do that a lot with me in the summer months here. Uh-huh. You know, when we're working slicks and reefs and shell pads and stuff like that.
Boy, we're really thinking about you the day. So I took my little purple little John and dipped the tail while we were smoking it. They were smoking that thing. So you better bring some with you. I'm running out of. I'm going to have to get some more dip.
I'll have plenty. What color do I need? What do I need to throw, man? I mean,
yeah, And, you know, it's we finally getting that top water bite again, and it's just golden orange is hot and bone and silver is hot on top water. And then the purple, the Little John's just been smoking hot. Mm-hmm. And then that Laguna shrimp, on those days I get that clear water and they're up there in that knee-deep water and got to slow roll it, they're loving that Laguna shrimp. And I've got some of those, plenty of that, salt plastic-wise. But, you know, it makes a big difference when you start getting it. Every day we're getting more and more fish piling in. They got this tournament this today, Mr. Big Trout, and a lot of my friends are fishing it, Barry. A lot of my good friends are fishing it, and I'll find out what's going on down south. You know, when you got six people in the boat, you got 35-mile-an-hour winds, you're not going to run 52 miles across Baffin to get down to where I need to be, you know, simply because, you know, you can't do it, you know. So can't cross that bay with six people in that boat with 35-mile-an-hour wind run. So, you know, with us, we can do it. We can get up early, run the shoreline. We're going to go down south and fish down south. And if you want eating fish, the upper Laguna Madre is gin clear. We had that push of water. So it cleared our water up for the first 7 or 8 miles in Upper Lagoon. And those sand holes are just like when you came last time. Those sand holes are full of 17 to 22-inch trout, just full of them, you know. So there's your table fare there. If you want to keep a couple to eat, you know, you got those. You keep you some 16, 17-inchers in there.
I might bring a couple home on the second day.
That's what I'm thinking. Second day, we'll try to get a couple.
Hey, I'll tell you, I've eaten trout all up and down this coast, and them fish from down there, there is nothing tastes like them. They taste like surf trout. They're delicious.
They're delicious. And speaking of surf, our surf is turning on, Mickey. The skipjack, the bait showed up.
Right.
Yesterday, Bob, the guy that walks up and down the jetty, saw about a 40-pound jack eat a mullet right next to his plug. He said, I'm so glad that he didn't get my lure. I mean, it was a big one, man. But they're showing up, and my buddy Greg's been fishing every morning, catching some fish. So we're just, you know, we just need a weather window. Everything's here. It's just fighting Mother Nature, but that's very normal, you know.
What's your water temperature down there now?
78. It'll be close to 80 when you're here with this.
Good. I might just if we wait, I'll just jump in without any rubber britches on.
I was wet wading the other day, and everybody else is dry wading, and I mean they won't take their waders off, you know, because it's just too hot.
Yeah.
But we're gonna be doing some structure fishing, and there's a couple places we're gonna wade up real shallow. We're gonna be wading in knee deep water. You know, those big fish I like to fish for in that knee deep, pocket deep. I don't really. Interested in catching numbers with you. I'm going to try to catch something big.
Yeah. Well.
That's going to be good stuff, man. I can't wait.
I'm just going fishing. It don't matter to me, man.
We're going to have a good time. That's like those guys that I had some sweet water. Those, you know, and we, you know, it's all about having a good time. You know, and we
it
had
is.
A blast. Guys, you know, at our age, you know, Mickey, everybody's caught enough fish and just get out in the outdoors. And it's just, man, it's just beautiful down here right now. And we're going to run real far south and get down there by ourselves and see if we can't catch a pig.
Put me in, Coach. I'm ready to play.
All right. Yeah.
That's awesome.
It's good stuff, Mickey. And so excited about seeing our surf picking up. Man, I just love that surf fishing. Going out every day. Just seeing that. Finally seeing all those mullet flipping and those minnows and glass minnows in the surf. You know, and it's got that smell. And just tons of those skipjack. When those skipjack show up, it's just you're right around the corner from the big trout. And something else is that sargasso weed. Cabbage head and the jellyfish, so that's a different current. See, last year we didn't have that. We didn't have very good beach fishing, so I'm predicting a really good beach year. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, James was talking about that earlier, you know, the cabbage heads and the seaweed and all that, and pretty good push of fish came in this week, you know, with all these bull tides and everything we received with these winds.
It's so funny because when it came back in, it fell out a little bit on Thursday a little bit. Mm-hmm. And when that tide falls out during the night, those little shrimp get up out of the grass, those grass shrimp, and they start moving with that tide, and those fish just feast on them during the night. It makes a really slow morning because every fish you catch is just like a football. They gorge on those little shrimp. And so, you know, about midday, we started popping them again. But it was funny how that they dropped out during the night, and they got on those little shrimp, and they gorged on them. And, man, I caught a redfish that was 27 inches long, weighed 9.5 pounds.
That's a toad.
That's a toad, dude.
That's a tournament red. That's what you're looking for right there, buddy.
A 23.5-inch trout that weighed 5 pounds. So that just tells you what girth I'm dealing with right now. You know, they're just like, I can't believe you took this bait. I can't believe you'd even want to eat anything else, you know. You know, just amazing how fat some of our fish are right now. You know, so. And our flounder started to show up. Finally, we're getting a lot of male fish coming in. A lot of male flounder coming in, Mickey. And it seems like right after that, we'll get the female. Okay.
There you go.
So that's always helpful. I love those, catching those flounder, man.
Yeah. But, me too. I like them on the table better than I do on my stringer. Man, they're good eating.
Bring you some topwaters, buddy. Bring your favorite topwaters and plenty of purple demons. You know, if we do fish in around the rocks, you know, I'm throwing those real light lead heads. I got a bunch from Jay, those 1/16 ounce, and I throw those big little Johns over the top of those rocks, and I got plenty of double D's and stuff like that. If the water's clear enough, we're going to be throwing a double D, but if it's dirty, we'll be throwing dark worms.
Right.
But hopefully get a little weather wind. It looks like we might have a little window that Monday morning down to 12, 15 miles an hour. That's nothing compared to what I'm dealing with. But
I was looking at the extended forecast, and it don't look bad at all. It looks favorable to me.
Hey, compared to when I get up, it says 22 to 45. You know, when it says 12 to 25, that's a big difference
That's ice cream for Corpus. 12 to 25.
Yeah.
You know, when we came with you at last time, I mean, the first day, remember how calm it was?
Yeah.
And then we had that little front hit on the second day, and that wasn't bad, though. We got out of that and did good.
I got your shockwave seat adjusted just right for you this time. You're going to like it better.
You got it on Bubba mode, big boy mode.
I didn't know it had all these adjustments on it. Did Barry and Dusty goes, look, man, you got to adjust it to your weight. I think I had it at 500 pounds or so. Now it's at 220, and it just rides like a cushion. So,
it
really makes a difference. But,
it rode good like it was. I'm not used to that.
Yeah, you'll just have to tell them other two boys, you got to have that seat.
Well,
y'all be fighting over that scene.
We'll fight over it.
Yeah, that's good. Y'all be good shape, man. I got all the work done on the boat. I put brand new carpet and stuff on that trailer and stuff. It's like a new trailer now, buddy.
I know. I got to recarpet my trailer. I got to dump mine in and do all that stuff. It's starting to, you know, you think they'd make something that would hold up for, a good period of time.
Well, you know, it's funny because I was having trouble with the new carpet. It was sticking, kind of coming off. And Steve Schultz, one of the guys, when I pulled up to the marina, he gets a can of that WD-40 silicone, and he sprays that carpet on my trailer. And the next time it comes on, I have to put the boat through the truck.
I know a guy that almost dumped his boat in the parking lot after spraying
there?
That silicone on that carpet, man. You got to be careful with that stuff.
Yes, sir. I keep the double latch on the front because of that. But, man, it sure is easy to load it because you ought to see these marinas now in the mornings. God almighty, it's just crazy trying to get in. You know, and we have a lot of people that don't really fish a whole lot till this time of year, and they're not real good at the marina, and they're not real good at backing in the boat and stuff. So, and we have a
pilgrims.
Rule.
I call them pilgrims.
Well, we have a little thing at Market 37 with all the guys. All those guys are getting there real early before everybody. Then when we see people having trouble at the ramp, we get out and help them, Mickey, because two things. It gets the ramp clear fast, and you make a friend, and it helps them learn how to do it. It's not an angry thing at the marina. Look at that idiot. It's, hey, man, let me help you out here, buddy. You know, so, you know, it doesn't take a little bit of time to help someone out, and you'll make a friend, and also, you know, it helps clear the marina and helps them learn how to do it.
You show them the right way to put in and pull out.
Yeah. And so a lot of the guys are doing that now. Man, instead of all that, you know, angry feeling at the marina now, it's all like, hey man, let's all go fishing, you know. So I'm kind of glad the way I'm seeing these younger guys treating these people, these pilgrims that don't fish a lot, because hey man, if you don't fish a lot, you know, you need some help there.
Well, these new young guys that, you know, that are breaking into the business, they got their act together. I do have faith in humanity these days. Just by seeing how they conduct themselves, or you know, it's not all bad.
No, there's some good ones. I had my house came for sale right next door to me, and White Forest bought the house, which is a fishing guy down in Mansell, which is moving down here. The nicest young man you've ever met, and I went over and introduced myself to him the other day. And Jay and everybody's talking about what a classy guy he is down in Mansfield, a real gentleman, catch and release, real confirmed. You know, just that's
right.
What we need him. Have him next door. So we've got a lot of those guys down here like that that are setting an example for the next generation, you know. So, you know,
and that's good. That is.
Yes, it is.
I love hearing that.
I do too. I do too, Mickey.
Quality fishermen coming up through the ranks, baby.
it. You don't want all the anger between them, you know, kind of.
No. That animosity deal, that's just, you know, I've been watching that for years. It's just so childish.
We're doing away with that, buddy.
Hang on, buddy. Let me knock this break out right quick. Hang on. All right. You're listening to The Outdoor Show. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. All right. 619 here in the Bayou City. All right, Cliff, we're back, bud.
All right, man. I just sent you a couple pictures of them.
Yeah, I looked at those. man.
So that's the guys I fished with this week, Scott and Greg. You know, we call Scott Seabiscuit, and he always waded real fast. And it's a great story about that trout I sent you that picture of. There was four of us, the same four that I've been fishing with for, you know, 35 years, and they're all four together. And Seabiscuit, I can tell the story because they're not at the same job anymore, but he was playing hooky, you know, sick at work. And he says, I got to call in at 9 o'clock and tell everybody I'm not coming. I'm sick. And so we're wade fishing, Mickey, and I'm coming up this big hole. And I said, man, I've catched a big fish in this hole. I said, don't wade past it. Don't blow past this hole, you know. And of course, Seabiscuit throws about five times and he greyhounds through that hole, you know.
Oh,
and then
boy.
I'm standing at that hole and he comes back by and he goes, I gotta go to the boat and make a phone call. I said, all right, man. He walks about 5 feet. I flip in there and catch that fish. 31 hits, just 9.5 pounds. You know, in that same hole, that picture I sent you. And then so it gets better. So Greg Wooder's with me, you know, and he's a really good fisherman. I fished with Greg for years. I mean, these are right. They had a house back in the back of Alazan, and we would go stay in that house in Alazan and fish, you know, back and back out. So we had a lot of time together.
Yeah.
And I look around and Greg catches that fish right there. That's another 30 3/4.
Fat fish too.
Out of that same pothole while he's over there on the phone calling into work. You know, so that was one of those days that he's always called hell for having to stop and call in work. I says, look, you know, they'll figure out you're not going to be there. I said, don't stop fishing, you know. Or call
the
day before. But yeah, that was good stuff, man.
Yeah, that is, man. That's that guy holding that big fish, I noticed he's still fishing with an old Cron-Arc 100 MG.
Those are the old days, buddy.
Hey, I found one in my tackle room, and I didn't even know I had it because I've given a lot of that stuff away, you know, to kids and stuff. And I was digging around looking for something to bring to Baff, and I was looking for some lures, and I said, man, reel handle sticking up through all those bags of plastics in there, and I pulled it out of there, and it was a 100MG, and I turned the handle on, and I go, man, this thing's smooth as butter.
So I got probably a dozen. They're
got wonderful. my alcohol and swabs out and cleaned it all up real good and level wine and all that and oiled it up. And, buddy, I can spin that handle and push that thumb bar down, and that spool will spin for 2 days. I said, I'm going to spool this up and start fishing with it.
Yeah, I'll take you. We'll bring it with you. You know, I'll take you down memory lane, too. Remember this reel that came out? So they had a Calcutta? It was a little round reel like an ambassador, and it had one handle was shorter than the other. It was gold.
Yeah, I remember those, the gold Calcuttas.
It had two size handle, so yeah. You could retrieve different. I mean, that was the most. I mean, it reached down there and grabbed the short handle, then reached down there and grabbed the long handle. It never did work right for me, you know.
No, I didn't like that. I didn't like that setup.
I kept some of them because I think it's going
to
be
something. I like a big power handle, man, you know, with like a 6.5 to 1 ratio.
Yeah, well, so that way when you reach to grab it, set a hook, you don't miss it.
That's
you
know, it. I hate it when I set the hook and my hand comes off the handle. That's
the worst.
That's aggravating.
Yes, it kind of throws you out of rhythm.
Yeah.
It does. And it's so funny because you can change reel speed, making it throw your rhythm off. You know, I'm a 6.1 guy, you know, and I'll go to that 7.8 or something, and it throws my rhythm.
I'm the same way, buddy.
You know. But
anything from 6.1 to 6.6 to 1, I'm good with that. But when you get into 7 to 1s and 8 to 1s, that's too fast.
And I got another question for you. So I take a lot of these really good bass fishermen, like the Gunther brothers and stuff, that really did. I spent a lot of time with bass. Those guys don't use braid. Why do a lot of those bass fishermen use mono, Mickey? Does it sink? What is the deal?
I don't know. I got to side with them. I'm a mono guy too. Now, don't get me wrong. I used braid when it first came out, and I used it for years. But as my fishing got tougher, you know, as we had a decline in our fishery, I went back to the mono, and I got more bites, and I caught more fish. But we were having to use a lot of soft plastics and stuff like that. Now, with topwaters and everything, it's so hard to beat braid because there's no stretch.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. But I talked to a lot of those bass fishermen, really on the mono deal. I'm wondering if it's the line sinks deeper down in the water with the plastic.
Well, you get a better sink factor, and plus you can throw a real light, tiny finesse bait, and you can still cast it far. With braid, it's hard to throw those little, you know, light baits. As far.
Yeah,
I mean, you can throw them, but you can't throw them as far.
Yeah, I'm hooked on that braid because of the structure I'm fishing. Mick, I think about all those years that I fished, I lost those monster trout.
Oh, yeah.
They went back into the structure, and with my 12-pound mono or my 15-pound big game, I wasn't getting those fish out of that structure, and they'll cut me off. Now, when he's 5 foot from the rock, 3 foot from the rock, 2 foot from the rock, he's getting some heat. I mean, I'm putting him down. If I'm either going to turn him straight in the hook out, or he's going
to strip. Boy, you have to do that. I mean, you have to do it. And you watch these bass guys. I mean, when they're doing a lot of flipping and they're going in heavy cover and everything like that, they got braid. They got to suck those fish out of there, especially
and
plus when they're fishing in thick cover like heavy grass and everything, they're able to pull those fish out of there. With mono, you can't do that.
And
you
that's
can,
what you,
but that's it's, what, you know, yeah. Your catch ratio goes down.
I was wondering what that was about. I know they do it flipping, but a lot of time when they're fishing deep, it's all mono, you know, so it's got to be the sink.
Well, a lot of them go to fluorocarbon line, too, you know, and get a bigger sink rig. They'll use like a shaky head or something and go to like a 10-pound fluorocarbon where they can get that bait down and everything's so technical nowadays.
I'm so far behind all that. You know, I'm stuck on braid right now simply because I don't have anything with mono on it right now. But I'm thinking, man, I'm seeing more and more of my really good guys that's been in the bass circuit. They still got a reel with mono on it.
Well, I'm seeing more and more saltwater guys that have been on the braid thing like I was for years that are going back to the mono. And I know I've gone back to it. I've been using that Berkeley. Oh gosh, what in the world? I can't believe my memory just left me. Well, I started using that line because you know it.
Not the big game.
No, it's not the big game. It's oh gosh, sensation.
Is it a break or is
sensation?
It sensation. Okay. Yes. Okay.
Yeah, it's got less stretch, and it's a little more. It has more sensitivity, and I can you know, when you hook a big fish. Well, and I don't hook a lot of big fish anymore unless they're redfish. You know, our trout aren't up to snuff like I'd like yet. But it, I don't get that stretch factor when you set the hook in it. And it, you know, you can watch, you know how the old motto lines, that fish would run about 10 yards before the drag would start going out because all the stretch in the line. Now you don't have that. You know, the motto lines are a lot better now than they were. Way back.
Yeah, in the old days, a big fish would thump it, and it'd come 5 feet from and towards you. In time, you cranked up, crank, and get a bow in him. If it's coming towards you, it's really hard to get a hook set. And that's what I like about the difference between a braid and one of my plastic. So I thump
exactly.
a big fish, and he comes toward me. When I crank, just a little bit of pressure, and that braid will stick that hook in him rather than mono, you know. So it does, you know, but I understand how it's usable. But another thing I'm running into is I have these people that use a really light drag down here, and it's a kiss of death. I mean, you got to have a heavier drag here. I reach out, and I pull the drag out really easy with my hand. I said, look, man, these rocks in here, you can't let this fish run back in there. Now, we're fishing the grass. That's okay. But, you know, there's certain times here you got to have a pretty tight drag to get your fish up out on top of the water. You know, want to get him up off the bottom.
Well,
you know?
What I do when I'm fishing structure like that, you know, when I'm fishing towheads and oyster beds where it's real, you know, the what I call pig ears, the ones that stick up real far off the bottom, I'll keep a real tight drag for the hook set. And once I turn that fish, back get off. His head's turned, get him come out, then I can back off and then not, you know, pull the hook out of him.
You know, I was watching all my guys too, and it's funny how you try to teach these guys how to land a fish, Mickey, with these boga grips and these fish grabbers and stuff. You know, I just watched all week these people just trying to free snap that thing on their lip while they're swimming around. You've got to put that rod under your arm, grab the line, and lead the fish to you. You know?
Yeah. Well, you got to wear it down because, you know, don't bring him in green and then grab the line because he's going to snap it then when he shakes his head if he's still hot.
Yeah. And see, that's one thing you and I do in experience where they wear the fish down. We know he's tired. When he comes up, he's laying up on his side the second time, and he just barely laying up on his side. That's when you snap it on, not when he
just. Yeah, you just circle that fish around you while you're waiting, you know, just circling. Yeah. And then once he lays up on his side, then, you know, I always, you know, put my hand around his right behind his head across his back. But now with bogus, you just, once he lays on his side, then you can grab that bottom lip.
I think that's one of the best tools in my time that came out is that boga grip. That is the. Whoever came up with that idea is great because you got to weigh. There's no lying about the fish. This is what he weighs. You don't have to touch him to take a picture. You snap it on, hold him up. You're not knocking the slime off of him. And if it's a big fish, too, we'll snap it on. If we're drifting, just snap it on the boat, and he never touches the hot boat. You raise him up, take the picture, and turn him loose, and it really helps out the fish. You know, I think about all those big fish that we netted and knocked the slime off of and took several pictures and let them go in the summer. Not a good thing.
No. Hey, how about, I got to measure this one. You got to check it sticks. Been baking in the sun. It's about 180 degrees. And you lay that fish on there, you can almost hear him sizzle while you're measuring him. I'm going, dip that check it stick in the water and cool it off and get it wet, you know, and then measure your fish. Good Lord.
It stays in my fish. My fish box is long enough for that. It stays in there with the ice in that fish box, and I pull it out, you know. But you know, it's just so funny because nowadays, you know, it's a we snap that boga on and weigh him, and very seldom it's a monster we put him on the boga. It's just, you know, I mean, on the check stick.
You think that boga hurts their bottom lip any when you think it hurts them in any way?
I don't think so.
I never noticed.
Just think about what they eat. Yeah, just think about what they're eating, okay? You grab a big old fish with a bunch of fins, like a perch or something. He's poking you in the mouth and all that stuff. I don't think they care, you know.
I caught a trout one time, looked like Billy Bob Thornton in Sling Blade, you know, that bottom lip sticking out like that. I said, man, I wonder how many times this fish has been bogged. His bottom lip.
Bad,
You know, he had, it was like his top lip was, you know, that Chinook salmon look. You know, you get that chopped off top looking deal with a big old bottom lip. That's got to be a different strain of trout or something. Every once in a while, you'll catch one with his lip like that.
Mm-hmm. I got my biggest fish I've got is his jaw's cut in half where he's on the trot line. And either the commercial fisherman took a pair of pliers and just ripped his jaw in half and let him go.
Oh,
or
boy.
He just got off by himself. But my biggest fish, my personal best, his jaw's cut in half and it's grown back together. His jaw's crooked. You know, it's like he's got one side's longer than the other. But it's amazing how he survived all that and just kept on eating, you know.
Caught a trout one time on the east shoreline of Trinity, and he's about a 3-pounder, but he was like a stump. I said, look at this fish, man. And he had a big old hump on his back and had that little pinhead. And I go, man, what had happened when that fish was a little pencil, probably a 10 or 12 incher, whoever, you know, was working on their pier running water lines or whatever, it was like a piece of cut off PVC. And that fish swam his head through there, and it got stuck around his shoulders like a dog collar on him, and he grew around it.
Man.
I mean, you couldn't see it because it was all slimed over and the meat had grown all around it. But you talk about deforming a fish. It made his head stay small, and then he had this big old hump back, you know, past the PVC collar. And I scraped it off, and I said, well, look at that. That's a piece of PVC pipe. That fish... I mean, I can't believe he could still eat. It went just past his gills where he could flare his gills.
That I think I would have had to mount that one or something. That's pretty cool. There's one of the fish like that I caught. There's two fish in my lifetime that were deformed I should have mounted. One was a trout that his tail looked like someone's arm. They cut it off. Just a stub with no fins in it. And I caught a trout like that one day, and he was still swimming. I mean, a good-sized trout, like 23, 24 inches. No tail at all.
No,
and then
nubber.
I caught a redfish.
No tail, just a nub.
No, just a nub, Bubba.
We caught one at Sabine Lake like that one time, and he wouldn't make the limit. He was too short.
I felt sorry for him. Then another was a redfish with no petrel fins, no side fins at all. And
how did how did he balance himself?
Well, listen to this. I'm reeling this fish, and he's rolling. He's rolling. I look at this fish rolling. What's going on? He's rolling around. I pick him up. He has no side fins. Like, I've never seen this before. You know. I mean, that's one in millions, but I turned that one loose, too. I don't know why I didn't mount it, but no side fins, Mickey. No petrel.
That's
fins.
Crazy.
How'd he stay upright? Isn't that crazy? He's lived that long. Fish is probably 23, 24 inches long. But you see some weird stuff, you know?
Yeah, you see some freaks.
And, yeah, the other one was a redfish that someone strung him through the eyeballs, you know, and the stringer broke off. So he had two pieces of line coming out above his eyeball. It looked like horns full of barnacles. And so he looks like he's got a set of horns. Because someone has stuck him through the eyeball.
A devil red.
Yeah, he would come up and I go, look at that stuff. And I didn't want to pull that stringer out. I thought I might kill him. It's grown in his head. So I just turned him loose with the stringer. You know, he's looking good. I turned him like loose, you know. But
that's
amazing
crazy.
What these fish can survive, isn't it? It's crazy.
They're especially redfish, they're a lot more hardier than we think. Yes. You know, they are. You know, bass are real hardy, but nothing like redfish. Man, them redfish are... I think you can drag them behind the car and turn them loose, and they'll swim off. It's just...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we had one like that the other day. That guy had 30-something spots. He put him in the ice chest full of icy water. About 10 minutes, he goes, man, I think I want to let that fish go. And he just swam off like he wasn't even hurt. He'd been in ice for 10 minutes, you know, with slushy ice water.
You know, flounder will do that, too. Flounder or hardy. They'll live a long time in the ice chest.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let me knock this next break out. I'll be right back. This is getting funny. All right, man, hang on. All right, you're listening to The Outdoor Show here at Sports Radio 610. Quick break, right back.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. All right. It's 6:39 here in the Bayou City, final segment of the show today. And let's go back and finish it off with Cliff Webb. All right, Cliff, we're back, man.
All right, buddy. Good deal, man.
Yeah, I was thinking during the break, all the, you know, deformities, you know, weird-looking fish. That, how many of you caught that had, like, a broken back, you know, and they had that crook, you know, before their base of their tail? You know, where they've been hit, you know, prop scars on them and all kinds of weird stuff.
I remember Smokey Gaines won a fishing tournament with one of those redfish that had been run over by the back. And the limit on the red was 28 inches. He was 28 inches, weighed 13 and a half pounds because he was his back was broken. He was a big old football, and he won that tournament. They're all trying to figure out how to disqualify him, but the rules read 28 inches. He was
That's 27. It. That's legit, what? Man. That's
it was legit. It was the coolest looking fish he had it mounted, but man, Smokey Gaines, talking about going way back, he was one of the first ones in Port Aransas, man.
Oh, yeah.
Those guys, you know, Howard Brown, those guys, man, it's just amazing.
Howard Brown, I hadn't heard that name in years,
God,
man.
Nobody.
Isn't that who George Bush used to go floundering with or whatever?
Yeah. You know, it's just nuts, all the old guys. And, you know, this is about Skipper Ray, you know. We love Skipper Ray, and even though that I don't know him that well, I fished with so many people that tell me what a great person he was, you know. So it's he was just such a gentleman, such a great
I
fisherman.
Always heard good things about him, yeah, always.
Exactly. Even Brian Barrera, when I fished with Brian, Brian says, man, he's just one of my favorite people, you know. So.
Speaking of Brian, Blaine went snook fishing with him yesterday.
Oh, how was
and
that?
Blaine had never caught a snook. He said, Mick, he said, it's crazy. You got to come back down here and go do it with me. Said they were jumping out of the water when they got there early yesterday morning, and they were catching them on top waters. And he said it was crazy.
It's awesome, Mickey. I went.
But he said Brian is absolutely a first class fishing guide. Very courteous and. I mean, just, you know, he does it right. I mean, he's just, you know, that's why he stays booked, because he does his job right.
Yeah, he does, and he's serious about catching those fish. You know,
enthusiastic and energetic and courteous and just all the, you know, and he said that new boat he's got is just awesome, unbelievable amount of fishing room in it. It's a great fishing
boat. Oh, yeah, I hadn't heard about his new boat. I know he had Fred. Fred had, I think, got him a Skeeter. They traded some fish for a Skeeter boat, and I fished out that Skeeter with him.
Yeah, well, he's got that big shallow sport now. And Blaine said it's a good fishing boat, big time.
Yeah, when I went down there to fish, you know, Fred invited me to go down there to fish with Brian. I said, heck yeah, I'll go down, you know. So we stayed at this really fine place, and that first day I caught that big tarpon with him. Man, I tell you what, I was whooped. I mean, after fighting that tarpon all day in that sun, 114 degrees in August, you know, none of them thought I was going to show up the next day for snook fishing. There's no way I'm not showing up for snook fishing, you know. So this is no lie. That night, I'm at that condo with Fred, and I fought that fish with my right arm with the spinning rod. I normally don't fish a spinning rod. And my arm was cramped up. I could not straighten it out, Mickey. It was straight up against my shoulder. And so Fred gave me a muscle relaxer and put some books on my arm and laid it out straight. And the next morning, that sucker was fishable, and I was able to cast, and I caught those snook. But the first snook we caught, Fred caught, and it was on like a thunder stick, or I think it was a Shimano bait, a Shimano topwater, real loud. And he threw it out there, and we'd already thrown over this little spot, both of us. You know, Brian and I both threw over the spot, and Fred throws out there. That's just the way snook are. That snook was just now getting mad. It took twice to get him mad, but the third time he threw that topwater, it sounded like a train wreck when that snook hit. I look back and I go, oh my God, what just happened in the back of the boat? But that topwater bite on the snook is really something, Mickey. It's really unbelievable. It's like nothing you've ever seen.
Oh, I know it. I caught a big one in Florida like that on a little Top Dog Junior. It sounded like a bomb went off. Well, the guys on the golf course tee box, they like to broke their necks looking over there because they've heard that sound before.
That was good.
Yeah,
I better be glad I wasn't on that tee box. I'd have dropped those golf clubs and found me a rock.
Y'all come get in a boat.
You're lucky I wasn't there. God, that's something, man. That's good stuff, you know. You know, when I was in Costa Rica, we didn't catch them on topwater, Mickey. And I caught a few on mirror lures, but they wanted a feather jig. They wanted something real fast in that surf. That surf was real clear. And the only way I'd get a strike in Costa Rica was after a big wave broke, was burning that white foam in about chest deep water down the beach real fast. And when they hit it, you better hold on to the rod, buddy. They pull it out of your hand, you know.
They hit it with a vengeance.
Yes, sir. And the rooster fish and stuff, and they would hit mirror lures and topwaters, but those snook, I don't know if they saw everything too good, but when you crank as fast as you can, they would smoke it, you know. It's crazy how those snook are.
Take it away from them. That's my motto, man. I get a fish tailing my topwater bait, you know, kind of humping up on it, following it. I'll just take it away from them, just speed it up real fast and walk it real fast and then slow it back down to the normal speed, and they'll just run over it, and they can't help but eat it, man.
That's good stuff. Oh, I love it, man.
So topwater's down in your area. What colors now? You said bone and orange and black.
Yeah, orange, silver, hot, and that steel, that, you know, Doug Bird special, I call it that orange and gold. I don't know what it is about orange and gold. All the way through May, orange and gold. You know, it's just a really good color down here. And then, you know, the she-dog in dirtier water, I don't know how dirty that water is going to be. It's clearing up a little bit. But the darker top waters, if I get in some real dirty, shallow water, we'll throw some darks. But I've got all that, Mickey. But we're going to try to get a big fish on top water. The first day, I think we're just going to go and try to get some big fish. Second day, we'll get you some take home. But if we're catching big fish the first day, we may go back. And we'll see what happens.
Well, yeah, I mean, hey, if we're catching big ones, the hell with them little ones. I got plenty of them to catch up here.
All right.
It's Pencil City up here, you know, up to 3 pounds. But
yeah, well, it sounded like James was smoking them.
Just, you know, a lot of little fish, and he'll get a good one every now and then. But it's just we're trying to regrow a fishery here, and we're not getting much help from Mother Nature. I guess you saw the rain we've been getting.
I cannot believe that rain. Oh, my. And we hardly get anything, Mickey.
Our two rivers are rampaging. I mean, it's terrible. People are flooded out of their homes. I mean, it's sad. It's just terrible, and it's just going to mess me up for quite a while. I may be coming back down your way several times this summer.
Come on, man. Come on down. Golly. You know, that'd be awesome. But and it's so funny because we can take a lot of rain here. Our salinity level's so high anyway. We can take a lot of rain for
rain helps you guys.
Yes, you know,
that's when Alizon goes nuts, is when they get a lot of fresh water running in the back of that place, right?
Yeah, and that's so funny you mentioned that, because I have one of my good fishermen, Paul Jamala. He's got one of those Sims boats that runs about 100 miles an hour, and when he comes down from Houston, he has a house here on the island, a beach house. He goes straight to Gladys's or straight to Mansfield or way back. He spent 3 days down here in the back of Alizon. He said it's just hit and miss. You hit a little pot of fish one day and nothing the next. They just hadn't showed up like they should, Mickey. And I still think we're still going to get more of a flow from the south. We're starting to see fish in the land cut. The trouble is the current in the land cut's about 30 miles an hour, you know, and it's really hard. You throw a plastic, to sweep down the side. So the only chance you got is the top water up against the grass. The guys that are fishing bait are using those spider weights for surf to catch fish in the cut. But see, my deal is if I got five or six people in the boat, you really can't drop a totem or down and throw topwaters along the
edge. No, you can't. You can't work it over right like that. That's just, you know, too hard.
If I got two or three, we got the option of using a trolling motor off deep structure, you know, grass bed and stuff. We have different options other than just waiting. When you got five people, you're stuck with waiting, you know.
Yeah, that's right. So
it's better money-wise, but really better fishing-wise. I like to have the option to be able to drift those deep structures, you know.
I like myself and one or two. That's perfect.
That's going to be perfect. Yeah, yeah.
No matter how big a boat you got, things just go better. I mean, now, if everybody can really fish, you know, they're at that pro level, then you can stack people in there and do it right, where nobody's throwing over each other's lines and turning into a, you know, a Donnybrook.
I used to remember the days when we drift, Mickey. You'd have that one guy in the front throw across the boat.
And then you'd put him in the back of the boat and drift the other way, and he'd throw across everybody in the front. I mean, I've dealt with that my whole life. It just...
I know.
You just waste the cast. Nice, you make that good long cast, and this knucklehead throws over. You got to reel in.
I always say, "Excuse me, sir, I threw under you. Let me get in."
Yeah, I didn't mean to throw under your line like that.
Excuse me, buddy, I threw under you again. Let me get in.
Oh yeah, but you know, with braided line, you get to, you know, you just got to start cutting it out. You get twisted and tangled up with two guys with braid on each other, even braid and mono together. I mean, that's aggravating. A weird wolf out of you at the end of the day. You're ready to pull your hair.
Oh, yeah. It happened to me on, I guess it was Thursday. So I'm out and I'm seeing some really good fish. And I just put some new line on my reel, Mickey. And I don't know what happened, but I cast it out there and the leader broke at the knot, you know, right in mid cast.
Oh, no.
I looked down at that reel. I says, "Well, I'm going back to the boat."
Break out the pink and shears.
And I said, "I didn't want the mother god to see what a rookie I was." So I said, "I'm going to go back to the boat here and get a drink of water." You know, so I'm going back there.
Hey, that's the advantage with mono over braid. When you get a blow up on braid, you're done. Mm-hmm. Mono, you got hope. You might be able to get it out, but.
The trick is with braid to carry another reel in your bag. That's the deal, because sometimes it happens, man.
Oh, I know it.
Very often, not very often, I have a flame out, but every once in a while, you know, I do something real stupid, you know. So,
I'll bring a couple of different weights, a rod. You know, I'll bring a heavier one for windy conditions, and in my, you know, that noodle I like to fish with, that ultralight. Boy, I love, man, working tails with that. I'm just lilies and tails with it. I'm just crazy with it.
Hey, bring some mirror lures. I got a spot that's just made for mirror lures. I'm just dying for you to fish it, because I had one guy come from Houston about 4 or 5 years ago and catch one about 9 pounds on this. It was an old pink mirror lure, and I almost said don't put it on. He catches that big fish. I'm so glad I didn't say nothing, but that's something that Cliff needs some help with, is mirror lure fishing, because that's something.
All right, I'll bring some 51Ms.
Bring some stuff like that, and maybe if it's calm enough, maybe we'll slip out in the surf and throw a little bit in the afternoon too. But I think we're going to be so tired when we get through on Monday,
oh,
Tuesday.
Oh, yeah.
We won't
I ain't that mad at him anymore.
Okay, good, good.
One fishing trip a day, it'll do me just fine.
Yeah, that's it, buddy. That's
unless we're really fired up and energetic.
Uh-huh. At our age, that don't happen very often.
No, it's it is what it is, brother.
There it is, man.
At least we're still able to do it.
Oh, my God. You know, I just think about those. I'm losing my guide buddies now. And, you know, it's just so sad because, you know, I guess I'm the oldest one down here now. You know, just like you and I.
Yeah, you are. You're the old man down there now.
That's what the guys keep reminding me of at the marina.
And you're really not that old.
I don't know. I feel it, buddy. God almighty.
For this day and age, I mean.
Yes, sir. I know it. But
were they saying the 70s, the new 50? Well,
yes,
I hadn't felt 50 in 20 years. I beg to differ on that one.
Well, you know, I have one of my best friends, Dr. Ferris. He's a vet. He takes care of everybody's Labrador.
I met him. Remember, I met him at the ramp that last day I fished with you. Remember?
Yeah, he's got that Lake and Bay, just like my old Lake and Bay, and that's all he fishes. He's 87 years old, still a vet, 87. He had both his hips done, still fishes every Wednesday's a day off. He still gets in the Lake and Bay and
fires
down.
Isn't that amazing?
Fires down there and fishes those rocks by himself. He can't get nobody to go with him. And I give him my phone number, and his wife has my phone number. And I says, you don't see Doc at 3 o'clock, you call me. You know, so he's always back at the dock, and he's always a good guy. But he's not going to miss his fishing. He lives for that.
Well,
you know, and
that's probably what's keeping him going.
He was one of Doug Bird's favorite clients. He has so many Doug Bird stories, you know. And
boy, we all do. Old Doug, man.
Yeah, I know it, man. I think of him all the time. You know,
yeah, I do too. Every time I
just like Milleski, you know, Milleski was one of the originals. You know, it was like there was three or four of us, and John was one of the originals. You know, so and of course Skipper Ray was one of the originals down there down south. You know, so yeah, that was, I just could not believe Skipper Ray. We were just talking about him the other day. You know, I had some people down from the Tomas Ranch and Billy, and he fished with Skipper Ray a lot. Where I said, man, I want to go down there and fish with him. You know, I hear so many great things about him. Then I get that phone call yesterday, like, oh my God, man, I cannot believe that.
Yeah, Kelly, I saw where she put it on Facebook. That's when I found out. I popped me a nap yesterday morning. I got up and I looked at my phone and I scrolled in there and I said, oh my gosh, Skipper Ray is gone.
Yeah, Joey Thur, I think, called me. Joey called me.
Right.
Oh, by the way, Joey, let me tell you, the last time that you called in, his phone was on vibrate. He didn't hear it. He was waiting for you to call. He was so embarrassed. He said, I can't believe my phone was on vibrate. And I didn't
hear I've tried him twice now, and he didn't pick up. And, you know, third time's a charm. It's on me. I'm not calling.
Yeah. No, I got to get him on there. But he's, you know, he is such a busy man.
He's a nice guy, too.
He is, dude. He's a good fisherman, too, man.
Yeah, I didn't see him the last time we were there. He wasn't fishing those 2 days we fished.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know it. Yeah,
or he was going somewhere
else. All the new people we have now fishing, all the new guys out. Oh my God, all the new $170,000 fishing boats, Mickey. God, it's incredible what I'm seeing at the marina, and I'm seeing boats like mine with 500 horse on them, you know, and $8,000 or $9,000 electronics. Yes, sir.
How can they afford that? Running fishing trips.
I think that it's a hobby to them.
They got other jobs to support that, or what?
I don't know, man. Or rich parents, or something. I don't know what's going on.
Sugar daddies. They got something going on.
A good inheritance, though. But I put a price on that—a $170,000 boat, and you got your truck, your $70,000 truck, and all that. I mean, you better make some money, buddy.
All your equipment. I mean, hey, this ain't cheap.
I'm keeping the old boat. I may repower it here in a little bit, but just had everything changed on the motor.
We're not booking the boat. We're booking a gad, man. You can catch them out of a scooter boat.
Yeah, I know. I look at some of those old guys that I'd come in my new fancy, you know, my Kenner, whatever I was running back then, and some little guy coming to and pulling up next to me to skip have twice as many fish as I had. I go, oh, hey, man, would you close that eyes just till my clients leave? You know, like,
popping a box on you, man, coming in here popping a box.
Oh, my God, you know, like, dang, that happens too. You know, it's all about the fishermen. You get those old guys that know what they're doing, they'll smoke you in that new boat, buddy. I've had that happen before.
Yeah, well.
Just like my son, when he worked at Marker 37 as a kid, my oldest, he worked there for like 7-8 years. And when he'd get off work, he'd take his rod and reel and wade out by Marker 37 on the point and fish and catch flounder and trout and stuff. And I'm coming in. He got off at noon, and I'm coming in about 2 or 3 o'clock. I round the corner. There's my son standing on the corner. And we had a really tough day. And my son, CR, raised up the stringer, had like 5 flounder on it, 2 big reds, a bunch of big reds. Hey, Paul, they're right here. And I said, oh, my God.
That's pretty bad when your own son's box popping you, man.
And then my guy says, I know your son. I could have hired him for a shrimp sandwich at Snoopy's. It's true. He would have taken you right there for a shrimp sandwich, you know.
There you go, buddy. All right, Cliff, I got to run, man. If somebody wants to call you about coming down and fishing, how do they get a hold of you, brother?
All right, Mickey, I'm in area code 361-949-0707. Hey, thanks for having me on, Mickey.
All right, I'll call you Sunday evening when I hit town, man.
I can't wait, buddy. Can't wait to see you. Later, buddy.
Later, dog. All right. All right. All right, that's it for the show today. Unfortunately, we're out of time. We'll be back in the morning, bright and early, 4 a.m. right here at Sports Radio 610 KILT Houston.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.